good morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Scharr, talking on this Thursday morning, anticipating, as the Times editorial says this morning, Alan, President Trump's most important meeting to visit President Xi Jinping of China will be a test of Mr. Trump's ability to address global issues with an experienced leader.
Well, it's a terribly important visit. We all know it. The Chinese say that they have been not manipulating the currency like we all knew that they once were. There is also the question of trade and advantage to whom, and we know that the United States has been running a terrific deficit with China. We also know that China owns a great deal of the paper in the United States, which means that our debt is owned in large part by the Chinese, which may be good, because in some ways what we have is a dependency that the United States economy keeps going well for the Chinese to be able to invest in it. So all of that gets negotiated. But then there's the whole issue of North Korea. There is the expectation on the part of everyone, seemingly, that the Chinese could snap their fingers and the North Koreans will clean up their act and stop doing the nuclear stuff. On the other hand, there are those of us who believe that the North Korean leader is a madman, capable of not only blowing himself up, but blowing all of us up. And it's a very scary proposition. So the president, who is obviously ill-equipped to deal with some of this stuff, because we know that many of the positions in the government, at the top ranks of government, are not filled and therefore can't listen to people who aren't there. Not only that, he shows a penchant for not listening and undercutting his own people, like his Secretary of State. So all of that comes into the mix as he meets with the president of China, who is, after all, a dictator and who gets his way in a lot easier manner than the United States. States does, because here we have a Congress, as tepid as it may be or may seem sometimes, they are capable of putting the brakes on Trump. And not only that, but you also see a Supreme Court, which is there, and a very vital and open press, which has never done a job as it's doing right now. If you just read the Washington Post and the New York Times every day. So you have these two systems confronting each other. It's going to be interesting.
Speaking of confronting, President Trump says the death of innocent children, innocent babies, and little babies has made him reassess the situation in Syria's president. Bashar al-Assad, of course, we were witness to a horrifying toxic chemical attack. The image is just heartbreaking. The president declined to elaborate on what he would do. He was with King Abdullah of Jordan yesterday in the Rose Garden for a news conference. Your thoughts on this brewing situation?
Once again, David, it comes back to the Russians. This is so interesting. Now, Syria is a client of the Russians. And we know that every time there's an attempt at the United Nations to discipline Syria, the Russians step in and they have veto power. And that's the way it is. The United States, of course, can deal with the United Nations by not giving it the resources that many of us think it deserves. And yet Trump says he's going to do something. Now, so far, we haven't seen much production. What he's able to do, he thinks, is to turn around and blame it on the Obama administration. And yet, in the Obama times, we weren't having the level of crisis that we're having right now with Trump. He says, I've changed my mind on Syria. Well, that's pretty good. Now we know that the Syrians should not be allowed to drop chemicals on their own people, according to Trump, because the images on that free press we just talked about are so devastating, of those little children dying, twins dying and being held by a mother. It's just beyond belief. He says, I've changed my mind. Well, he's the president. He should know what's going on. And now what's he gonna do?
Stephen Bannon, Trump's political advisor, has been removed from the National Security Council by H.R. McMaster, the three-star general who took over the post after Michael Flynn was ousted in February. How about that developing story?
David, I've been around a long time. I know once you get on the skids, you're on the skids. And if they're going to eliminate Bannon from this nonsensical position, I don't know what to call him. You know, he's a guy who ran a right-wing newspaper, Breitbart, and you put him on the National Security Council, and now you take him off. That's a signal that maybe the president doesn't have the same level of confidence in Bannon. I suspect that the controlling force on Bannon is going to be Kushner, the son-in-law, and the daughter Ivanka. Ivanka made a very interesting statement. She said, when she disagrees with her father, she tells him and he listens. And shortly thereafter, Bannon takes off. Now, one and one may make two, maybe it doesn't make two. But the fact is, Ivanka, who's a friend of Chelsea Clinton and who moves in a certain crowd that is not pro-Trump in the past, really becomes a key player in all of this.